Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Word Sexy Radio. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we're bringing it to you this evening, and we're going to bring it sexiest we can.
I see you thinking, if I'm thinking what you're thinking, I'm just moving where the mood inside takes me. Looks like fate means to lead us into the way, touching every layer of matter from beginning to latter. It's the laws of attraction as in action here, not the voices of the conscious program with so much nonsense trying to fear us from this natural. We're all born supernatural, and right now I just want to get closer to you. Will you let, if you let me, I'd love to, baby, tell me, will you let me?
Sexy Radio on this October 3rd, 2011, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we also have DV Hinn on the line. How you doing, DV?
What's up, man?
How you doing, man? I hope you had a good weekend, because we have two phenomenal authors that are on the line right now, and we're going to be talking with them in just a second, but we just wanted to let everybody know this is Word Sexy Radio, and if you want to call in to speak to our authors, who I'm going to introduce in just a second, the number is 347-215-8539, and this is Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio, and we do everything grown on this show. So, DV, I hope you got some questions, because we have some phenomenal authors that are on here tonight, and they're going to be talking their subjects, and we got Miss Colleen Bryce that's here, and she is, of course, world-renowned, nationally known author, and she is phenomenal in her own right, and we'll be talking with her, as well as Miss Tiana Lavelle, and she's here as well, And we're going to be talking to both of them, and I hope E.M. Foster be here because she's supposed to be on the show as well. So we'll just go, and it's a two-hour show, so if she comes in later on, we'll be able to do that. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to bring the ladies on, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. I'm going to start with Colleen. How are you this evening?
I'm good. It's actually Carlene.
I'm sorry. Don't let me mess it up now because we don't want you getting all mad and upset. Because, you know, and hopefully you don't get upset because I do some cussing, so hopefully that doesn't bother you. I mean, this show is a explicit show.
I have been known to cuss a little bit myself. So.
Okay, so if I say, don't let me fuck your name up, then that's okay then, right?
I'll say that's fine, yeah.
Okay, all right. Not a problem. I won't do that. Okay, now, Tiana, are you here? Am I saying your name correctly?
Yes, but my last name is pronounced Levine.
See, I be messing it all up, man. See, let me tell you.
Hey, you
over
there, buddy.
I am just, I guess I'm just too happy, man. What the hell am I doing? Okay, look, ladies, I am so sorry for saying your names wrong. DV, introduce yourself to the ladies.
Hello, ladies. I'm DV, Fred's co-host. How's it going?
Hi,
good,
DV.
How are you?
Okay, DV is an author as well, and we'll be talking to him about some of his works as well. But right now what we want to do is I'm going to give each lady a chance to go ahead and kind of introduce themselves and tell us what they got going on right now, and then we'll get into each of them's individual works. And then we may have some questions from some of the audience that may have some questions. And, you know, just so you ladies know, the show is called We're Sexy Radio, and we do talk about all types of subjects, but most of the time it's mostly erotica or whatever, but that's not specifically just stuck to erotica because we know that a lot of the stuff that's that we are going to be talking about tonight may not be specifically in that area, but just if it does come up, just be ready to go on the ride, okay? Just want to just let you know that. All right, so Carlene, I hope I'm saying this correctly.
Yes.
If you would like, ma'am, please go ahead and let everybody know, even though everybody knows who you are, if you can go ahead and kind of tell everybody about you, some of your accomplishments, which I am very proud that you have done, and we'll go from there.
Definitely. My name is Carlene Bryce, and I have written nonfiction and fiction. Most recently, my two novels are, the first one was called Orange Mint and Honey, and that one was made into the Lifetime TV movie called Sins of the Mother that starred Jill Scott.
Uh-huh.
And my second novel is called Children of the Waters, and both of those books came out in the last couple years. And right now I'm working on a novel that I am selling a chapter at a time on a website called achapteramonth.com that Victoria Christopher Murray started this year with probably about 16 other authors. So that's what I got going on right now.
Okay. Okay, well, that sounds like a lot. So, I mean, you make it sound like it's not a lot, but, to me, that's a whole lot. So I appreciate that. And we'll get into how you got your first novel into a movie and all that. But, Tiana, can you kind of introduce yourself and tell everyone what's going on with you?
Yes, my name is Tiana Levine, and I write erotic fiction dealing primarily with interracial characters, where typically the female is African-American and the male character is non-African-American. I currently have two out. One is Cross Climax 1, and the second is Cross Climax 2. They are anthology novels. And soon in the next month or two, my third novel will be available called The Slave Master's Son.
Woo. Interesting. Okay. All right, DV, I know you got some questions right now on that one.
Okay, well, Red, I got a good news and I got bad news for you. Which one you want to hear from?
Well, let's go ahead with the good news.
Okay. The good news is all I got is bad news for you. I've been so busy these last couple of weeks and caught up with a lot of the things that I almost forgot there was a show tonight. I didn't remember until I got the reminder 15 minutes ago. So I was like,
That's not a problem.
To formulate any questions, so I apologize for that.
So I guess you have to come from the shoot from the hip again as you've done before.
Well, yeah, during the course of the interview, of course, you know, because I think I met Ms. Bryce at MBBF, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I listened to a presentation that she had pertaining to her book. You know, I was very happy to hear that, you know, when they had turned into a Lifetime event. So, you know, I'm kind of proud of that because it shows that there are writers out there picking other venues other than, you know, trying to get their stories into movies, but, you know, they're actually getting them to the small screen instead of the big screen. So, you know,
right,
I like hearing
right.
things like that.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. So what we're going to do right now, Colleen, is we're going to give you a chance to kind of explain, you know, without telling them, because I know there's probably some authors out there, some people out there, fans or anybody of yours or anyone's, that hasn't read any of your books yet. So just to kind of give them an idea, especially about the book that became a movie, which I'm sure they're interested how that came about. If you can kind of explain that, and we can go from that point.
Okay. The book is a story about a mother and a daughter. The daughter is grown now, but when she was young, her mother was an alcoholic, and the mother has recently become sober, and it's about how they both have to deal with the issues from the past. Alcoholism is they call it a family disease. It doesn't just affect the person who's an alcoholic. It affects everybody around them. And in the case of my story, the mother, whose name is Nona, has been sober for a few years and has tried to reach out to her daughter, make amends to her daughter, but her daughter isn't ready to forgive her yet. And something happens, and the daughter is in a position where she has to go back home and face up to stuff with her mom. And that's what the book is about, and that's what the movie is about. And the movie starred Jill Scott as the mother, Nona, and an actress named Nicole Beharie played the daughter. And in both stories, the movie and the book, the mom was only, you know, she was a teenager when she had the daughter, so they're close in age. And that is the story of that. You said you wanted something about how it became a movie?
Yeah, well, before you do that, though, we want to kind of let everybody know that this movie was nominated and won the NAACP award. Which award was that that it actually won? And Jill Scott was also a winner as well, right?
Yeah, won two. It won for Best TV Movie or something like Outstanding TV Movie Miniseries. You know, there were a couple things in the category, but it was basically Best TV Movie, and then Jill Scott won for Best Actress in a TV movie.
Right. Okay. So, for those that are listening, that DV was saying that are inspiring to get their books or novels out, and then to someday make it into some type of movie, we're going to see how this was went into fruition. So, can you kind of tell us how did that come about? Did somebody just walk up to you and ask you that after reading the book that they wanted to make it into a movie, or did you have to step out and do some things to make that happen?
I had an agent who did that. I have a literary agent and a film agent, and they worked together.
Uh-huh.
And the film agent had had worked at one of the studios in her history and had been an associate producer on Waiting to Exhale. And first she took the book to the studios for what they call a feature film, you know, which is on the big screen in the movie theater.
Right.
And it didn't generate a lot of interest there, and so then she took it to Lifetime, and they snapped it up right away. And one of the reasons they did is because I'm sure a lot of your listeners watch Lifetime, and so they won't be surprised to know that 40% of the audience for Lifetime is Black and Latina women. And so what I was told was they were looking for content for those viewers, and they were looking for content that they thought would appeal to a wide range of viewers. So assistant VP or executive VP, some vice president at Lifetime, read the book and really liked it, and they optioned it, put together a team, producer, screenwriter, got the script together, and gave it a go, and they actually made the movie, which is still, to this day, amazing to me, because it doesn't happen very often.
Right. So how much I'm sorry, go ahead, Dean.
Oh, no, like that's what I was about to expound upon. Whenever they option a movie, very briefly, because, you know, there's a lot of people who don't know what goes into what makes a TV movie. And not only that, but what type of money or, you know, the type of incentives that you get from, you know, having a TV movie.
Yeah, what the how it works with the option is I like to tell people it's like they put your book on layaway. So when they option the movie, they say, we want to buy it for X amount of money. However, what we're going to do is we're going to pay you usually like 10% of that and hold on to it usually for about a year while we see if we can really make it into a movie. So, you know, if we can get a studio to, you know, for the big screen, if we can get a studio to get behind it and say, yes, we want to make it. For the small screen, it was really a matter of if they could get a script that they liked. And they hired the screenwriter is Elizabeth Hunter, whose most recent movie was Jumping the Broom. And she took the book, read it, adapted it, and that process took about a year. And then right at a time when the option was going to deadline was going to elapse, they renewed it. So luckily I got another check. And then right after that, right after that, they said we got in the last draft of the screenplay. We like it. We're giving it the green light, and they started casting. And how it works for the writer, the author of the book, is you get the full amount of whatever they bought the book for on the first day of shooting. They call that the first day of principal photography. So the day they're actually, everybody, they got their stars on the set, in their costumes, saying the lines, is they then they cut you a check. Because what happens in Hollywood a lot of times is everybody's on board, everybody thinks it's a go, and then some, you know, BS happens at the last minute, or somebody gets sick, or somebody, you know, changes their mind, some politics happen, and so then everything falls apart, and they don't want to have paid more than they should want it to for a project
right.
That's not going to happen. So they make sure they're actually on it before they pay you. So they, on that first day of shooting, I got my check.
So what? No bullshit. No bullshit.
No bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a bullshit-free process.
So, I mean, do you get, when it comes to the final screenplay, do you get a chance to look it over or final say, or is pretty much since they option the movie that, you know, whatever input you had of it is irrelevant?
In my case, I had no input at all. I got zero. They could have done whatever the heck they wanted to do with it. And I think that's the case like 90% of the time. I know,
right.
Terry McMillan's writing the screenplay right now for Getting to Happy. So she'll have a lot of input in that. But usually the author, they want to get rid of you because a book is a really different thing than a movie.
Right, completely. Right.
And so they want to make sure they have somebody who understands how to make a story visual and stuff like that. And they get really worried about the author wanting to keep everything true to the vision of the book and not understanding that you can't do that. So usually they try to get rid of the book author. And I went into it knowing that. And, you know, I was like, you know, as long as they pay me my check and whatever, I'm good with it. And then I got really, on top of that, really, really lucky, and they did a good job. So I have no complaints. It was like I said, bullshit-free.
Right. Well, that's good because, you know, like I said, with you not having any say-so from that point on, they could have just changed the whole damn concept, you know, and just made it something else. And you would have been like, damn, well, I'm getting paid, but this ain't my damn, this ain't what I wanted. But yeah.
Right. They introduced characters that are not even part of the book. You're like, who the hell is that?
Yep, and
right.
It happens all the time.
Right.
But what I said going into it to myself, what I knew was maybe they'll make a bad movie, but they can't make my book. They can't touch my book. You know, my book is still always going to be my book. And luckily, they also made a good movie and really treated the book with respect.
So did you get the same Hollywood treatment where as soon as people saw the movie, you got a bump in book sales?
I did get a bump of book sales, yeah. It's not the TV movie, I don't think, does as much as it does, you know, on the big screen. And then also there's a lot of, for me, there's an issue because they changed the title. And so there's
right.
still a lot of people out there who, you know, I go to book events and people will say, so what's your book about? And I start saying it, and they'll say, oh, that sounds like this movie I saw in Lifetime. And I'm like,
right.
yeah, because it was based on my book. So there's still a lot
right.
of people who don't, haven't made the
they
connection.
Don't put it together.
The titles are different.
So what do they say the title? Because, you know, that title is a book that Victoria Christopher Murray has, Sins of the Mother, for a book that she's done. So do people get that kind of confused sometimes as well?
Yeah.
Think that that's the same thing?
Yeah, I think there has been some confusion. You know, the movie was made and came out before her book came out. But,
right.
you know, you're hearing about them both. I think there's some confusion, but there's not a whole lot you can do about it. It just hope that when people investigate, they see, you know, that book is that book and my book is my book, and make their choice.
Hey, DV, before we go any further, let me go ahead and do a kind of let people know that if they want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio. And also, I wanted to tell Tiana, you know, it's a 2-hour show, so guess what? The second half is going to be all erotica. So you just get yourself ready, okay?
Okay.
You're going to be talking shit? Okay.
She already
now, yeah, I know. And also, did you want people to know? I don't know if you want people to know your status, so I'm not going to say anything about that. You have to tell them that. But anyway, we're going to be talking to Tiana on the second half mostly, and like I said, and get into the erotic side of it. But I just wanted to get Colleen in on this first half because I want her to actually tell us a little bit more about, okay, now, the second book that you did, what is the name of it again? And basically kind of give us, without telling the whole story, what it is about. And then something that you may come up, because I think some of the questions I have is, you know, do you kind of venture into the sexuality of your characters? Do they actually have sex in your books, or do you even write books in that aspect that go that way? So first we'll go with you telling us about the book, and then we'll go from there from that point.
All right. The second book is about a little bit along the lines of what Tiana writes about interracial relationships, except for in the second book, Children of the Waters, it's about two women. One is black and one is white, and they find out they're sisters. And the white
okay.
woman
before
has...
Before you go any further, I'm sorry to cut you off. But
okay.
who is the other author? There's another author that's out there that does this the same type of thing. And she's a black author. I cannot think of her name right now. That does this as well. She uses African-American women along with a lot of Caucasian men. And I'm going to think of that before it's over. But go ahead. Yeah, but go ahead. And I think her name is Kayla Perrin or something
Kimberly
like that.
Kimberly K. Terry.
Yeah, something
Kimberly
like that. One
K.
of the, it's two
is
of them.
A,
yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah, she's
yes,
a romance
okay.
author, and she writes books.
Right.
She writes romance
okay.
novels with...
There's another lady who writes erotic novels.
I think it's Corinne Perrin or something like that. Yeah. But I'm sorry, Colleen, go ahead. And I also
that's
have
okay.
to tell you something, too, before you go any further. I know a friend of yours that's here in Kansas City that used to be a friend of your mother's, and she is a great friend of mine. I'm sure you know Angela Washington Thomas.
Yes,
I don't know if you
I
know
do.
Her.
Angie,
and
yes,
just,
I do.
Yeah, well, guess what? Angie's my girlfriend. So
really?
She is. right. So we'll talk about that some more, but go ahead
well,
and
you
explain
know,
your book.
I'm
sorry.
I'm going to be in Kansas City next month.
Well, then you need to come so we can see you when you come
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yes,
really cool.
That's my girl, and she's probably listening, but I just wanted to make sure I spoke that so that I wouldn't get in trouble. But anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, it's both my novels are domestic dramas, women's fiction. There is romantic relationships, and they do have sex in the book, but the sex isn't a big part of the story.
Right. So have you thought about maybe doing some type of work like that where you would add, not really necessarily be erotic fiction, but kind of like where you're more adult, not just women's fiction, but I mean, you know, because I know a lot of authors as well as myself, we do a lot of different genres of stuff because we want to try different things. But have you had kind of thought about that? Has your writing ever took you in that direction?
It hasn't taken me in that direction. Actually, Kimberly K. Terry, when you were talking about her, I met her this summer, and she was trying to talk me into writing romance. I don't know. You know, we'll see. But right now, I like what I'm writing, so we'll see.
Okay.
So which is your favorite, fiction or nonfiction? Because now that your nonfiction is generating all this publicity, has it drawn any attention towards your fiction?
Well, it's my fiction that's generating the publicity, though.
Oh, yes, fiction.
Like, that's, you know what I mean. But
that's right, you fucked it up. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah,
that's right.
Man, I call red fever, my bad. But
that's all right. That's all right. Red fever. All right, we'll just let that be what it is then. Okay. All right. Okay.
But, I mean, what I'm saying is now that, you know, you got one side generating all this publicity, is it pushing people towards other things that you've written?
Yeah, I think there's an uptick in anything. Because one of the things that happened for me from the movie is that, you know, I get invited to events and stuff like that. And then people get a chance to hear the other stuff that I've written, and they have been looking at my nonfiction as well as my fiction, yeah.
So what is your nonfiction about?
It was kind of a self-help fiction. I wrote a book about what happens as, you know, Angie was friends with my mom. My mom died of breast cancer, and after my mom died, I wrote a book about recovering from grief called Lead Me Home. And I wrote a collection of my first book was a collection of affirmations called Walk Tall.
Right.
Affirmations.
And I have that.
People of color. Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that book actually did really well, and it's still around. And then I put together an anthology of fiction, nonfiction, and poetry of Black women writing about midlife and, you know, getting from the mid-30s to those upper numbers and what that's like and all the different things you go through health-wise, relationship-wise, sexually, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, with your kids, with your partners, and all of that kind of stuff. So
has your self-help book kind of helped others that had went through different cases of people who have went through the losing a loved one or someone with the with cancer? Because I know my mother passed from that as well. She had cancer in the uterus, and I lost her when I was 14. So I didn't have that kind of book back then. But has that kind of thing helped out those that have went through that? Have you got any feedback from that?
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's probably the biggest thing about being a writer is that whether it's fiction or nonfiction. Is because my fiction deals with a lot of these issues too, and people do email me and tell me, you know, that book really helped me with whatever, and I know that there are people who that book helped them after the death of somebody close to them. I'm sorry to hear about your mom.
Oh yeah, that's something that happened years ago, and of course, like I said, I appreciate you telling me that, but you know, it's been so long, but. But anyway, I appreciate you telling me that. So what we're going to do right now, before we go any further, Tiana, I want you to get hot, baby, because we're going to get you, okay? We're going to get you going, and we're going to talk some erotica, okay? So I want you to get yourself ready. But at this time, before we go any further, do you have anything you'd like to say right now? Because I don't want to keep you out of the conversation. I want to bring you in, and you can definitely say what you would like to say.
No, I'm just enjoying the conversation. So whenever you're ready for me, just let me know.
Oh, I'm definitely going to let you know. Okay. All right. Now, I just so y'all know, we get a little crazy on here and we do some things.
Just a little?
On Word Sexy Radio.
Really?
Well, you know, it usually gets real wild on here. So I just I'm trying to get people ready for the ride because once the ride starts, it's going to start. So, but it's very interesting. Like I said, for those that are listening, we're doing our show this evening, and we have. And I hate to say people's names because I'd be messing them up. I don't even know if I want to do it. DV, should I have you do it, man? See, so you can get dogged out?
What do I need to get dogged out for?
You can do it.
Because I don't want to say the names wrong, man. I don't want to say my lady's names wrong here because, you know, I know it's Colleen Bryce, and if I say Miss Levine's name wrong again, she's going to get mad at me. But Tiana Levine is the name, and we got these two phenomenal women that's here, and we were supposed to have E.M. Foster, but I guess she has not come in, so maybe she has something else she may have to do. But anyway, getting back to Colleen, and you said you had some projects coming up, right? And we're going to also give you guys a chance to tell people where you're going to be and how they can get your books and you know, if you do book signings or that any of that stuff. But what's some of the new projects you got coming up, if you can tell us?
Yeah, well, I'm doing a sequel to Orange Mint and Honey right now, and that's the book that I'm doing on a chapteramonth.com.
Okay,
and,
so do you think that might be a part two or movies, maybe, possibly?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. We'll see.
Right.
The movie did really well for Lifetime. It was actually their second highest rated ever original movie ever that they had on.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a shot. We'll see. That's on chapteramonth.com, and that's a site where 16, 18 different authors are selling their books a chapter at a time for 99 cents a chapter, and there are new chapters and new stories going up each month, and I recommend and suggest people check it out because, like I said, it's not just me. It's a whole bunch of authors that are writing a variety of stories from Christian, women's fiction, erotica, thriller, romance. So there's a bunch of stuff there that I think there's pretty much something for everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm also finishing up a novel to send to my agent to try to get a publisher for, and I'm crossing my fingers for that one.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds pretty good now. We got about, 27 minutes left in this hour, but what I want to do is I'm interested to see what Miss Tiana is thinking about over here, because she is just like patiently waiting in the back there, and I know that she's going to bring it tonight, because I know she's got these hot books, because Climax, you know, they're both very, very hot books. So, we don't want to get into the book yet, though, but we just kind of want to see how you're doing. Just want to hear your voice. How about that? Go ahead.
I'm doing absolutely fine, and thank you for inviting me to be here. And I enjoy myself, and you're very entertaining.
You know, I'm Red Snapper, and I do write as well. Just in case you guys didn't know, I'm an author as well. I have 9 novels out myself. So, you know, we're doing erotica and paranormal. I do like erotica, and I also do paranormal kind of erotica type stuff, you know. Guess freaky, sexual, whatever, but, you know, it's just fiction, right? Anyway.
So you tell people. So you tell people.
And of course, D.V. Hint is an author as well, and he has his stuff going on. And D.V., go ahead and kind of speak on what you got going on right now, and then we'll probably have a song, and then we'll get into the second half of our show, and hopefully we'll get some callers. If not, then we'll just continue on. And also, ladies, the show will be available for you to use on your websites. I will make sure you get the link, and you'll be able to post it there, and you'll be able to use that any way you would like. So, but go ahead, D.V.
All right, well, once again, I'm D.V. I guess that makes me the newbie of the group, because I've only been writing professionally for about a year, 2 novels, and I do. erotica is my favorite, mostly because it's taboo, and, you know, people look down their nose whenever you say erotica, so it's just a way to step up the genre, you know, keep it, you know, as pristine as the other novels, per se. Currently, I am writing in an anthology with 9 or 10 other authors, and it's called Untapped. It'll be coming out next month, and my story in it is called TRANS, or True Romances Are Never Simple. So that's currently what I'm doing. Also, this weekend, I'll be heading to New York for the Circle of Sisters. So that ought to be a lot of fun.
I bet. They going to have you in a circle, DV, or what?
I hope so.
You know what's going to happen, because you a freak like that anyway. So the thing is you'll be in the middle of the circle, and it'd be like a convent type deal, and they just going to take their time with you. Huh?
Hey, Red, I can circle poke with the best of them, all right?
I hear you. All right. Okay. All right. So, but back to Miss Tiana, because she is so quiet. She is so quiet. Are you always this way?
She's not quiet. She's just absorbing everything we say. She's like, these fools crazy. So I'm going to have to.
Well,
really,
yeah, we are. Well, we are crazy, but we just want to make sure that you, you know, because I guess when you start talking, you're gonna be blowing our minds. Is that what you're going to do?
Well, I'm just listening to your interview, you know, with Miss Colleen here and enjoying it. And like I said, when you're ready for me to talk about my projects, and I'll go ahead and speak up. I just, you know, I'm just enjoying myself sitting back here.
Okay,
I'm ready.
Yeah, I know, I'm just messing with you, but you know, it's what I do, and so Miss Colleen, so you never decided you wanted to, you said you never wanted to. What, well, I ain't gonna say you never, but you've never thought about going in the path of erotica or anything like that. So what is your favorite genre that you like mostly to write in?
You know, I don't even know what you call it. For lack of a better word, women's fiction. I write relationship books.
Okay.
So,
well,
I
that's
mean,
really
would,
good.
Like, other than yourself, you know, who are some of your favorites? Or who are some of the people that inspired you?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Other
that's
than
a
myself.
Real good way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than yourself.
Like,
oh.
I am one of my
like,
favorites.
I love
oh,
to
yeah.
read myself. I am my favorite author.
That was very arrogant of him, but. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no. I like Pearl Clegg a lot. I like B.B. Moore Campbell a lot. I like Martha Southgate has a new book out called The Taste of Salt, and I like her books a lot. There's a lot of literary fiction, but it's accessible too. You know, it's not just all so esoteric and arty. I like books with good stories. I like Tanana Reeve Dew. You mentioned paranormal. I like her stuff. She's got a new book out. Terry McMillan, of course, was an inspiration and has been really kind to me and a lot of other authors. So props to her.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, that's interesting because I'm going to ask Tiana who she likes. As far as authors, Tiana, can you tell us that?
Sure.
Start off with Red Snapper.
No, she's probably never even heard of me until today. But anyway, go ahead.
I like Kimberly K. Terry. I like Crystal Hubbard. And I don't recall the lady's name who wrote the Twilight series. That's like my guilty pleasure.
Stephanie Myers?
Yes.
Stephanie
you.
Myers? Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like her as well.
I'm going to blow everybody's mind one day and have one of those.
Yeah, you just blew mine right now. I was like, what the hell, Red knows this? For shame. For shame, sir.
What? I can know Stephanie Myers just because she ain't black. I mean, look,
no.
we're gonna blow people's minds. I'm going to try to get somebody like that on this show here because We're Six Radio is open to everyone. But, you know, we would like to, you know, blow some minds. And what if we have Stephanie Myers on here? People, would they, you know, it would be tripping because, you know, be like, really? She's on We're Six Radio? But anyway, all right, go ahead.
I like Trice Hickman as well, but I would say, like, my favorite.
And she's been on here several times. Mm-hmm.
She's great. My favorite author of all time would be Zora Neale Hurston. So,
wow.
That's
you took it there.
I told you she never heard of Red Snapper, man. Why would she say my name? Anyway.
Oh, man. Hush.
Who was your favorites, DV? DV, who was your favorites besides you?
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I like Chaucer. I love, when I grew up, I read the Canterbury Tales. I read a lot of British literature when I grew up. You know, I've read a lot of poems. I read Henry David Thoreau. Wadsworth, you know, I've read, you know, in fact, to this day, The Great Gatsby is still one of my favorite books. So, like, I grew up reading, like, stuff 100, you know, if it wasn't 100 years older than me, then I probably Didn't read a whole lot of it. It wasn't until I started reading James Baldwin within the 20th century that I really enjoyed 20th century books. So, like, my, right. you know, like you know, like they said, I'm kind of the artsy guy. I like the classics. So, I mean, I don't mind reading literature because literature is supposed to entertain. But when it comes to really enjoying, you put a Sherlock Holmes book in front of my face by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and I'm good for the rest of the day.
Right. Well, if I had to go back that far as something that I would like, I'm telling you, The Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, to me, let me tell you something, man. That was a I wish I would have came up with that idea, because that story is just phenomenal with all the ghosts and how they come and the whole concept of that. And I know that's way out of everybody would think, especially coming from me. But, you know, I thought that was one of the great stories that I read that I still enjoy today and look forward to seeing in movie versions because there's so many versions of this movie or this book done in movies on TV, and it's just like a classic. So I always, you know, and I always like the old black and white version of that, because that to me is the most, I think, most that I remember growing up. You know, of course, they got all the new versions of it. I mean, they even have a Vanessa Williams version of it. So, you know, it's just you know, just different ways. But that would be one. But as far as other authors, of course, my frat brother, Eric Jerome Dickey, I get into a lot of his stuff. And there's a few others. Elin Harris, another one of my frat brothers. He, you know, his work, even though he did a lot of what you don't like, DV, or I ain't going to say you don't like, but you're not friend of.
Like it.
Well, you know the you know his writings. I don't have to go into what he wrote. You know he wrote mostly what I don't want to say it and make it sound nasty, but like homosexual writing or whatever.
Homosexual.
But you know it's you know it's not bad. I mean I enjoy his stories. You know, and I hate that he's gone. But
homosexual is
but
not synonymous with bad. All right, I'll say it.
But it's not. But a lot of people try to put it there, and I don't want to put it there because that's not. That's not where it needs to go. You know what I'm saying? It's not bad. So people have a choice to what they want to do. So I don't judge anyone in that aspect because I can't. So
you know,
but,
those books are so popular because they're good. You know,
right?
People are reading
it's about the quality of the story, right?
I agree. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you know, like I said, I mean, and there's other authors that I get into. I mean, there's lots of authors that I like that's out there. I mean, even I got Trice's latest book, and she's been on here several times on the show. She likes coming on Word Section Radio, and she has her own radio show now with Brian W. Smith.
And
they're doing that as well. But like I said, you know, I mean, there's lots of people that I like. There's lots of new authors that are out there that I like as well. So, you know, I'm open to everybody, giving everybody a chance with their writing. Because everybody, as long as they can bring, even if it's the same story and they bring it their way, it's good. You know what I'm saying? As long as they bring it the way that they want and not try to be the same as somebody else. I mean, because, you know, there's really I don't look at it like there's really no certain genre that I would get into. But, you know, although I write erotic fiction now, a lot of my stuff has a lot of sexual, and I don't even really consider mine really erotic fiction because it's not just sexual. Because there are plots that carries. I mean, if I took the sex out of my books, the plot would still carry the book, would still make the book go. So my thing, to me, I think is the sex is just there as a whatever icing on the cake type thing or whatever. Just well, you know, just to carry it from one thing to the next. And I like that kind of stuff. So, you know, I mean, but those who just write about, you know, like with the anthologies, I have an anthology that I did with some others called Contagious Lust, and we want to do a second one. So I'll be looking for some people that, if they're interested. But the thing is I just like writing, you know, so, and I like to read, even though I don't like to read a lot of people's stuff while I'm writing, I just like, you know, I like the literary, I like books. So, you know, I try to write, and I love writing, and you know, even if one person just read my book, I'll just be happy that they even read it, you know. So that's the thing with me. But so we got about, 15 minutes before we get into the second segment. So if somebody wanted to get your books or wanted to contact you, Carlene, how would they be able to do that?
Well, my books should be available in their local bookstore, and they're available on Amazon. The easiest way to find out how to get a hold of me is to go to my website, which is www.carlene.bryce.com. And they can email me. They can check out excerpts from my books and reviews. And I have some different, some of the different podcasts with, you know, other stuff I've done and videos and things like that on my website. So.
Okay. If you was given an opportunity to write anything you wanted to write, what would you, I mean, about something that's going on today in the world, I'll put that in there. What would you write and how and why?
Wow, that is a really good question. And I am not sure I know the answer to that. I think.
And you probably can think about that. If you don't want to answer right now, you got until the end of the second segment, if you like. If you're going to stay on, I hope you do. So that
no,
you
I
can,
didn't,
you
actually,
can
I didn't
ponder
realize
on that.
2 hours. I wasn't going to be
well,
on for that.
Normally it isn't, but because I wanted to give you guys time, and if you can't stay, I understand. But think about that question for a few minutes, and kind of think about it. I mean, because there's a lot of things that's going on in the world today, especially with our African American president and different things. Which today is their anniversary, their 17th anniversary.
19th.
So. I think it's 19th. You're right. I'm sorry. 19th. So, I mean, there's so many things that's going on today. That's a good question to ponder on. And I would ask Tiana that as well. If you had a chance to write about anything that's going on today, what would you write about and why? I think that's the way I asked that.
There's so many things that I'd like to tackle. But one thing I'm actually working on now, one of my projects that I'll get more in depth with later, is actually about African American women and our body image and health issues regarding that, and how it affects our love life from a mental and spiritual standpoint. And I'm actually working on something right now regarding that, and it definitely is a passion of mine because I do feel it's very important. We are a segment of the population that is not, in my opinion, really looking at how we're self-medicating through the things that we're putting in our mouths and why we're doing it, that it's really not about the food. It's much deeper than that. And that is
that's real deep.
That's something that needs to be addressed, and I'm trying to address it actually now.
So if you was addressing, okay, you say you're doing it, but are you doing it in a fiction realm, or are you doing it in a nonfiction aspect, or how are you addressing that?
I'm doing it in a fiction realm. However, I'm using nonfiction accounts to help do the framework. So these are just
okay,
not
yeah, that makes sense. Right.
Right. They're not things that I'm just pulling out of the sky. You know, there is a framework on that is based in reality.
Right. Okay.
That's really a good, important subject.
Yes, it is. Very much so. Okay.
Well, I thought it's something I'd like to write about.
Uh-huh.
It's
inspiration.
What I would like to write one day, I would like to write something that has magic realism in it, fantasy. Something like that. I don't know what subject matter or what the story would be about, but I really like books that have that element in them, and I'd like to try to tackle one of those.
Interesting. That sounds good. Okay.
Go ahead. Oh, you mentioned that you have also delved into the paranormal. I also would like to do that as well.
Okay. Well, I have a book that I've written, and actually there's two that I've written. One is actually published now, and I'm waiting on the other to be published. The first I wrote under another pseudonym it's Red Snapper Writing as R.J. Leonard, and the name of the book is called Curse of the Nocturnal Seductress. And basically it deals with, I heard somebody kind of laughing back there. It's paranormal. It's sexual, but it's paranormal. It's about a succubus, basically, and basically what happens is this woman in the 19th century, an African princess, is scheduled to marry a prince from another tribe. You know how they set these dowries up and everything to try to make these allegiance with other tribes. But what happens is she is set up to marry this prince who is gay. And she doesn't know he's gay. Her father doesn't know, but of course his father knows. And they get married, of course, and what happens is, you know, he doesn't want to consummate the marriage because he doesn't want to be with her that way. He wants to be with his assistant or his the guy that kind of helps him and does things for him and stuff like that. So what happens is she gets frustrated and she goes to this voodoo priestess who asks her to give some type of potion for her to make her husband want her. So, of course, this backfires because when she does finally have sex with him, he brings in this guy to have sex along with him. And then the guy starts bragging, saying that he wants me and not you and blah, blah, blah. So this demon comes into her and turns into the succubus, and it goes from that point. But it ends up where the woman, you know, is put away in a vase or shed off from society until the 20th century, where she is reemerged at an auction. She's in this vase, her spirit, and these lesbian museum collectors end up buying the piece that she was in, and they end up busting it open, and she's let loose into the 20th century. And I could tell you more, but I'm gonna leave it at that. But she goes around, of course, and does a lot of things with men and kills them off to get strength. And, you know, a succubus, you know, they suck the blood and suck the soul out of a man, you know, sexually. So that's where the sex piece comes in. Yes. Was there a question? Hello?
Not on my end. I was just listening to your explanation of the book.
Oh, okay. Okay, I thought I heard somebody was asking. But yeah, that was my first dabble into that, and that's going to be a series. That's like the first book that's out now. And, of course, it gets into a lot of some of the voodoo stuff comes into play and stuff like that, because the setting is, although it starts in Kansas City, it goes into Louisiana and different places, so it travels. So I have a degree in history, so I like to use a lot of historical pieces in my writing as well. I'm not a historical writer, but I like to use different parts of history and do that. And the second book that I have that's hopefully coming out next month is called The Mercurial Ones, which is going to be about it's kind of like slaves. Okay, you know how we had the tribes in Africa, and they were being brought over as slaves. Well, what happens is these tribes were fighting, and, of course, they were fighting against each other in wars, and, of course, the prisoners of wars were taken and sold into slavery. But what happens is one of the tribes has an encounter with Count Dracula, who ends up turning them into vampires, which makes them the reason why they're fighting those other tribes. They're trying to fight them because they don't want to become vampires, so they end up selling their people into slavery, and they come here to the United States, and they start getting revenge on, I don't want to say white man, but, you know, they just do some things. They're vampires, so they do things to spread themselves. So I'll just leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. But it's a good book, and that's a series as well. So, I mean, it's coming up. And it goes through history, different times, parts of history. I basically took it where it starts, where the beginning of the book starts at the end of the Civil War. It was like 3 days prior to the signing of, when they surrendered. And there's a slave. It's not that piece. It was the actual surrendering, you know, when Lee surrendered to Grant. Yeah. Right. So, you know, it goes into that. And, of course, this colonel is mad because his daughter's screwing one of the Mandingos, and he's chasing after him, and who ends up on this plantation that happens to be the plantation that was where the slaves that are vampires are at. So, you know, it just goes from there, and it goes through history. I took it through time where it goes up, something happens here, then a decade later, it's like the 21st, you know, 20th century or 1921, when Ku Klux Klan first started, the slaves are there, and they're now slaves anymore. They're, you know, just different pieces that I took of history and kind of just brought it to kind of show, I guess, kind of racism. It's a racist book. I ain't going to lie. It is. But it's a book that's good that people need to read. Anybody can read. It's not dogging a race or doing anything. It's just bringing a remembrance back of things that happened, just using a paranormal piece to kind of show that, if that makes sense. And I know I talked a lot about that. That's probably too much, but anyway. But that's what I'm doing. And see, because you were talking about paranormal. I mean, I think an author should be able to do whatever they want and not just be stuck in one area. You know, you should be able to write whatever you like and try it, you know, and just see what you want to do. And I think that, you know, even if you don't do well in it, you know, you tried it. You know, it's, I don't think that you could not do well in it. You just have to put your thought into it and just come up with a story that you want to do, and I think you can do it. So that's enough of me talking about myself, which I wasn't supposed to do. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play a little music here for a little break feeder. Now, Colleen, are you going to stick around or are you leaving us? Because I know it's 2 hours and I'm sorry.
Yeah, no offense meant at all, but I didn't know it was going to be 2 hours, so I'm going to have to take off.
That's fine. And, before we go, I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on. And you know, it's very, very, very my pleasure to actually, you know, get to meet you on here and everything. And,
thank you.
How your book came about. And plus, when you come to town, I hope you contact Angela so that we can meet in person and go from
that
point.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Not a problem, man. I told you it wasn't going to be that bad. So you were like, you sure you want me on your show? Because you guys, y'all sexual. No, I mean, we are.
Really, but y'all nasty.
But you know, but that's good. So we thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you. Y'all have a good time.
Now, Tiana, I'm going to go into this music. We're going to get a break here, and then when we come back from the music, you be ready, okay, baby?
All righty.
All right, so here we go. We're going to play this one song that we had on the show last week called Marathon. I kind of like this one, so I'm going to go ahead and play that.
Thank you.
Word Sexy Radio, and we're bringing you that sex, that sexiness, that freakiness. That's what we're doing. And this second segment is going to be full of it, so you might as well get it. The number is 347-215-8539. Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio. We're bringing it to you tonight. That is Raheem Devon with Sultry as they did that marathon. Okay, now we are back to the second segment of this Word Sexy show tonight, and it's going to be hot. So if you're not ready, you better get ready, because we got Miss Tiana Levine. Are you ready, Miss Levine?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so what we want you to do right now is go ahead and tell us about your books and get us ready.
Okay, I'm Tiana Levine, and so far I have two published books out. One is called Cross Climax 1, and the second one is called Cross Climax 2. They're both in anthology format, and they both contain four separate stories. They deal with interracial relationships, and they are described as erotica due to the graphic sexual scenes that are included in them. Cross Climax 1, for instance, has, as stated about, it has four different stories, but they're all vastly different. There are four books, or many books, I should say, in each novel. For Cross Climax 1, there's a story called Jock of All Trades. It's about a football star. The man in this book is white, and he's dating, or will be dating, an Afrocentric doctor by the name of Sandra Bell. And it's basically about their romance and how it started, which it began from him having an injury. And there's some intense issues in that story regarding family dynamics, incest, and just pain that comes from that. Also, there's another story in there called White Hot Fire, and it's set in 1956, so obviously it's going to deal a little bit, at least, with racism. And it's just about a divorced fireman named David Stone, and he needs a caretaker, and he hires this college student, this art history student, by the name of Patricia Edwards. And it's about how their romance blossoms and some of the trials and tribulations that they go through. Another story in this book is called My One and Only, and it's about an African-American female college student who meets and then dates a very troubled biracial man by the name of James Edmondson. And it's a very intense love story, but it also deals with just younger people and, you know, having your first love. And then finally in that book, the last story is called Spanish Lustabies. And it's about a Puerto Rican music producer who basically has to go to his old stomping grounds in order to try to pursue and woo a band that he's trying to get to sign under the label that he works for. And in that, he ends up getting into or grabbed into a very twisted and seductive underground world that deals with a sex club. So it's about the sex club and all the things that he learns about himself and his life and whatnot. It just it turns into a much deeper situation.
Go ahead. Now, before you go into the second book, let's talk about the first one. So when you say all these different types of things that's going on with the different the novellas that you have in your books, so are we talking about, like, different taboo-type sex, ass-fucking, all this kind of shit? I mean, we're just going to get raw right now, you know, because the first half is over, and now we are in the second half, which this is the raw segment piece. So what kind of sex are we having in these books? I mean, we say it's black and white, and it's different types of races. Well, all races are the same, but I mean different types of parts of race of different people having sex. And I know you said that you like to deal with mostly African-American women dealing with either white men or different types. What made you decide to do that? Is that something that you've experienced yourself? And then we'll get into the type of sex. Or is it just something that you like? Or is it just something that you wanted to do different? Because that, to me, I think is a genre within the genre of erotica is interracial relationships.
Well, it actually began for me not terribly long ago. I had, up until my early 30s, dated predominantly African-American men. And then I found myself in a situation where I was dating non-African-American men. And upon that, I realized, and me being an avid reader at that time, and I wrote just for fun, I went looking and browsing for books that tackled what I was currently, you know, doing as far as my personal life, and I didn't find a vast selection. I found all kinds of books with where, you know, the protagonist and everybody was white, you know, or both people were black, but it was difficult to find what I considered a lot of quality writing as far as romance and erotica that dealt with black women paired with non-black men. What ended up was I was writing this before, and there I have a friend who's a successful author. His name is Cole Black, and I've known him for years upon years. And I had just leaked an excerpt of something that I had been writing, you know, and going to eventually try to shop around. And basically he saw it. We had a conversation, and due to that conversation, he influenced me greatly to proceed forward with it. So basically, and it ended up being rather successful, in my opinion. So that's basically how that happened. You know, it came from a need for me, and I figured other people probably had that same need.
Okay, well, you know, that, like I said, we spoke earlier that there are other African-American authors that are doing that. Kayla Perrin is the other name that I was trying to come up with that does that. And I forgot about Kimberly Terry. Yeah, she does that type of stuff too, and I'm sure there's others, but that's good. That's interesting because, so because of your own experience, kind of drove you there. Okay.
Right.
All right. So that's good.
Most of the stories that we write, especially initially, draw from our own personal experience.
That's true.
Your first few characters are the ones that you can most relate to. So, you know, it's mostly an extension of who you are, but given a certain situation, how would you react?
Right, exactly. And that's true. But my thing is it's just intriguing to me because a lot of people don't like to tackle that, even though, you know, even with today's world, even though we say that racism, well, some people's opinion think that racism is not here anymore, but, you know, I feel that it's still here and never left. It just was hidden for a minute in other aspects, and now it's back. But the thing that I see is just interesting that, you know, to have books where we do come up with different, you know, types of characters. And I even try to do that in my books. I don't write all my characters are not black. I always try to make sure that I have different races in my books, you know, not different races, but different types of race of people in my books because everybody's the same race. You know, they always try to make it like it's different races, but it isn't. But anyway, but I just think that's intriguing. Go ahead.
That's the thing, Mike. And in my second book, Valentine, you know, I took the taboo as far as interracial step further. Instead of making it, you know, black man, white woman, or, you know, black woman, non-black man, I was like, hey, let's go for it. I called one of my characters Charlie, and Charlie just happens to be a white woman, and Valentine just happens to be African-American female. And so I created a relationship between those two. So, I mean, it's the thing is, people, when they're reading it, you know, they're reading the same experiences that they've had. You know, when they're reading the struggle between Charlie and Valentine, they never realize that, you know, Charlie is a white character until the end when they're like, wait, wasn't she white? But because the thing is, I've always learned, if you do something well, people never know that you did it at all.
That's right.
You know,
and one thing I want to say, and I'm gonna let Tiana get back in, one thing I do want to say is, you know, you're right when you say when you do something real, they'll never know. But the thing is a lot of times I think what draws people to these type of books that she's writing, which I think is excellent, is sometimes people might want to get in that situation and they don't know how, or they don't want to, or it's just a fantasy for them to see that. So this is another way of bringing something across that they may not ever do. I mean, you know, you see it sometimes when you go to strip clubs. You see a lot of white men will come to strip clubs and get with the black women because they know if they do it in the public, it's not going to be accepted, but they can do
it's
it in that room and feel good about it. So it's the same thing with this, I think, that she's done with this book. Even though it's a personal thing for her, a lot of people, I think, may read. And I don't know, you probably, when you can tell us yourself, Tiana, when you do book signings, how people react. I think it's just another fantasy for them. What do you say on that?
Guilty pleasure.
I think that there is a segment of the population that buys romance fiction, particularly erotic romance, and I'm like you, Red Snapper, where my stories can stand alone. If you removed all the graphic sex things, it still would stand alone, and that was really important to me. But anyhow, the books are geared towards, like you mentioned, women, you know, who may be interested and possibly dating this way, but do not have the courage to, or whatever you want to call it, in order to go that route, and it helps get their feet wet, basically. I've gotten stating that. Also, there is, of course, the whole taboo situation. And then there are women like me who are either dating or married to non-black men, and we just want something that reflects what goes on in our own lives. We don't want to pick up a book. The woman has long blonde hair when we don't, you know. So,
right.
It's just a matter of reflection. Your reader, even if it's paranormal or whatever it is, they always want to be able to latch hold to something that they can really see in the book.
Okay.
Wait,
let's get into the type of sex. Okay, go ahead, DV. Say what you want to say.
I mean, no, like we all grow up. You know, like, especially my parents. My parents, you know, as much as we consider ourselves open, my parents are like, you can bring anyone home, but she better not be white. You know, and that was kind of the stigma that I kind of grew up with. So I was like, well, you know, since my parents are against it, let me go ahead and see what these white girls are all about. And that's what I did all through junior high school and high school. We were in the suburbs. My parents moved us to the suburbs. There was, like, one black girl in my whole school. And so I can't date the one black girl, so, you know, I had to venture out. It was more of a necessity. So, I mean, that's how I got my education, learning about different people, simply because I was placed in that environment. But you got a lot of people who've been in their neighborhoods their whole lives. They've been around black people their whole lives. So to talk about something other, you know.
Okay, where are you? Hello?
Oh, I can't hear him either.
Okay, he may have dropped. Okay, but sometimes that happens with him. Anyway, he'll be back in a minute. But, yeah, I think that's very interesting that you could take that because, like I said, it's erotica, but it's erotica within, it's a genre within a genre because a lot of times there are people who, like you said, they want to see something that they're in or they just have a fantasy of wanting to be in something like that or even have a want to get into it and just want to see what it's like so that they can venture in it. And I think that's a great thing that you're doing with this type of, you know, with your type of writing and doing that. And, you know, it's great. And like you said, you know, you want to have stories, like you said, and I thank you for giving me the compliment, having a story that if the sex wasn't there, it's still a story, it's still a plot, and that's good. But I guess I was going to get kind of crazy with you and start asking you, you know, what kind of sex is going on in these books? You know, because I was just trying to get fucking, you know, get freaky here. So what are we doing?
Well,
can you kind of go into that a little bit?
Yeah, I can go into that.
Please do. Please do. Please do.
Okay. there are some, there's a plethora of different sexual arenas here. And so, for instance, Jack of All Trades does have some, I guess for the slang version of calling it is tossing salad. There's still some of that.
Yeah, tossing the salad. Yeah, yeah. Mm. What's wrong with that, DV? Tossing salad is some good shit. What you talking about, man?
That, exactly. You said it exactly. I couldn't have framed it better.
Oh, good shit, man. Good shit. That's exactly what it is. Good shit. But anyway, go ahead. Go ahead, Tian.
There ain't nobody
go ahead, Tian.
Man. I'm sorry.
Hey, well, it's clean, hopefully, TV, when you get down there. It ain't going to be no shit hanging right there for you, dingleberries and all
well,
that.
They
man,
left dingleberries behind. Hey, they ain't even getting their coochie. That's just real.
Oh, man. Tell you. Okay, Tiana, go ahead.
There's some S&M, particularly with Spanish Lust to Buy. There's a lot of that.
Okay, S&M, yes.
There's the bondage. There is lots of things that people read about, but I go into more depth, like, you know, candle wax, sex slaves.
Oh, yeah. See, I like, you're going to have to give me a couple of these books because I definitely want to read them. Go ahead, continue.
My one and only deals with that story. Has a different angle from the point where the main female character, she's not a virgin, but she's pretty close. She's only been with one other person, and that was years previous. So,
right. So are you married, Tiana? Before we go any further, because I don't want to get nobody upset, you know, if I say something wrong.
Yes,
are you married? Okay.
Yes.
Is he listening? You think, is he listening to the show?
No, actually, he's
brother,
not.
Don't get, well, I ain't going to say brother. I'm going to say my man. Because you're probably not black. But anyway, my man.
You make them all mad.
Do not get upset if I start saying some shit, okay? This is part of the show, okay? All right, go ahead, Tiana.
My one and only deals with basically dealing with a man who is sexually mature. His age is close in proximity to hers, and dealing with a woman who is not sexually mature. So it kind of tackles that and all that that entails, and basically how she gets turned out, okay?
Wow. I like that, turned out. That's some good shit. Go ahead.
And then White Hot Fire, that story that's based in the late 50s with the fireman and the college student, that deals with an gap. But also deals with her being with a quote-unquote real man and what type of sex that is as compared to her young
And then you got all the racism and all that going on as well, huh?
Exactly. So
now, is her boyfriend black? And of course, this is a white man that's giving her who's turning her ass out and shit and fucking the shit out of her. And then the black boy is like, he don't know what to do. And is it something like that?
She didn't cheat on her black boyfriend. Basically, with the White Hot Fire story, her boyfriend messed around with her best friend, so they ended up breaking up. But they were sexually active, and he was kind of a wham bam, thank you ma'am. He was very selfish in bed, so she hadn't really experienced any orgasms or anything like that.
And of course, the white man was able to give her that. The black boy.
He sounds so cynical.
No, I'm just playing. I'm just messing with it. I'm not trying to sound racial. I'm not trying to sound messed up.
You're like,
don't take
fuck?
It like that. I'm just saying, the brother can't get her off. No, but he's a young boy. So he don't know what to do. He's just sticking it in and shooting and shit.
Right.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with his race. It had to do with just his age, you know.
And the older man know how to eat some pussy and shit and get down there and tear that shit up and, you know, make her come.
Not who talking from experience.
Me, brother, because that's why I'm Red Snapper. But anyway, go ahead.
Lord. But yeah, so.
She's like, Lord, listen. Oh, man. I shouldn't even say it all there. Let's take it back. Can I erase that? Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
So,
hold
yeah,
it on the
so
podcast.
That's that entails. And then there is some of course, there's a sex scene or sexual description in the story, the mini story Jock of All Trades and Cross Climax 1, that is obviously not meant to get anyone sexually excited because it deals with rape. So that is also included. But I think that for women that have experienced that, as far as being a girl or a young teenager, that it's handled in a way where it just deals with family dynamics and denial, and how sometimes we, particularly in the African-American community, we have a history of not addressing this in our family.
So is it a rape scene where she's, like, against her will, being raped by this guy that's doing this to her, and it's just, is it something of that nature? Or
it's her, she's young, it's her stepfather.
Okay.
And
now, how was you able to get that? Because, you know, a lot of times, I don't know, you know, a lot of times some publishing companies, I don't know how you published, but some publishing companies, you know, try to get away from the how old was the girl when she was, the incest? How old was she?
My memory serves me correctly, I had it starting when she was about 9 or 10. So.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so how does that work? Because a lot of times, you know, they don't want to get into that. You know, some companies will even tell you, "Well, we ain't gonna publish that. She's not 18." Or so. How was you? Did you publish through your own company, or did you go through a company?
Yeah, I'm self-published, and then through Create Space.
Okay.
However, I have gotten several offers to be published by publishing houses. I just haven't. One fell through, and then there was a couple where, to me. It just wasn't a good deal, so I decided not to go through with it. But so
but that's not the importance. The importance is, I was just wondering, you know, depending on who you were publishing with, how that was able. And like I said, you know, Create Space, whatever, you're a published author. You're an author, so it doesn't matter. I was just wondering, you know, how some authors are, you know, face this. Because I've had books that I wanted to write that had a child that was, you know, it was not child. Well, I guess it was like being raped or whatever at a young age, or a girl was aggressive at 16 and she got with a man that was 22, and you know how some of these girls do, and I had a company that I wrote for before that told me I had to make her 18 or they wasn't going to publish it, because I guess they was worried about, so that's why I was asking you that. It has nothing to do with you know, the company that you published through. It was just, how was you able to get around that subject with the age of her being 9, is what I'm saying.
Apparently some authors are getting around it, because I've read my share of books where it has been, you know, maybe not as graphic as some, but, I mean, it was very clear, you know, what had transpired, so.
Right, yeah. So I guess, you know, it just depends on the company, you know, some of the companies. And like I said, now with the way publishing is now, you know, people don't even have to go through these mainstream companies anyway. So, I mean, it's just, I was just wondering. That's all. It was just a question. But all of it sounds intriguing, and definitely want you to explain the second book.
Okay. Cross Climax 2, again, we're dealing with four different stories. The first story or mini story in that one is called Lights, Camera, Attraction, and it's basically a single black woman with a young daughter. Long story short, she ends up in the porn industry. She ends up in a porn industry in order to make ends meet, but she meets another porn star, an Italian porn star, and they end up falling in love. Of course, there's some hiccups along the way, and it's just about their relationship and how it transpires. The next story.
You come up with all these ideas. These are great ideas that you have. I like that. Go ahead.
The next story in this book is called The Bride in Red.
But you ain't telling us the grind. You ain't telling us how they hitting it, though. How is old boy hitting this shit? You ain't, okay. All right. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You are silly. The next.
I got to be, because that's what Word Sexy Radio is about. We got to be like that. Okay, go ahead.
The next story is called The Bride in Red, and it's about a Japanese-American psychiatrist named Arashi Takahashi. And he's a beautiful man, you know, physically, but he's a workaholic, so he doesn't really go out or anything. And when he does go out, he tends to hook up with other Japanese women. Well, he gets his best friend is this white guy, and he basically talks him into going to an urban ballet in the city. He goes to this urban ballet, and he sees this beautiful black ballet dancer who does urban ballet.
I like the way she put that. I like the way she put that, urban ballet. Now, we know this is a damn strip club, so why you want you to say that?
No.
I prefer the euphemism urban ballet. Thank you very much.
I like strip club. We use it in a strip club. He goes to a strip club, and he gets turned out by a sister in the strip club. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead. Explain it, baby. I'm sorry.
We say shit like titty bar and strip club. You know,
yeah,
urban ballet.
All that, but urban ballet, I mean,
urban,
you know,
dance club, that's cool with me.
It's okay, but I like. Go ahead, baby. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Not a strip club.
Okay.
But
it ain't a strip club. It must be more classier than a straight up, titty ass strip club. Okay, I got you. Go ahead.
Yeah, these are real ballet dancers. It's a black dance troupe that does ballet, but they do it to rap, hip hop, you know, things like that. So that's what it
okay,
is.
Okay, see now. Look, I sound silly. See, look at me, man. I just took the strip club. When it was a strip club. Damn. Okay, go ahead, baby.
So anyway, they end up having a whirlwind romance, basically. But Arashi's family does not approve at all, so there's that obstacle. And he also has an ex-girlfriend who is mentally challenged, okay, and is causing problems in the relationship. So it's just basically dealing with that. And then the final character story in the book is a story called The N-Word. And it's about a Nazi. His name's Aaron Pike, and he is in prison once again for some race crime that he's done. He ends up having an inmate pen pal relationship with an African-American elementary school teacher. And long story short with that one, too, he falls in love with this woman not knowing she's black, so that's climactic in itself. Yeah, it's kind of like, ha-ha. So when they meet, of course, you know, he's not happy about that, but he can't get past the fact that he's in love with her. So it's about dealing with that and how they can proceed forward. And then the last story in there is just a surprise bonus story that kind of ties everything together. That's
okay.
How that works. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, let me apologize for making your strip club not a strip club when it really wasn't a strip club, and I tried to make it one. But anyway, because I heard that term so many times. But anyway, so that's very interesting. I like the stories that you come up with and all these different types of ideals that you have using racism. And I know it takes – it's not really racism, but, I mean, it takes a lot more thinking to make some situations where you have different races coming together and then being sexually active together. So that right there in itself is I applaud you for that. So what kind of feedback have you been actually getting on these different stories, the different stuff that you've been on your books and like when you go to book signings and stuff like that?
Yeah, overall the response has been really positive and great. Of course, with me dealing with interracial, there are going to be those people who do not approve and feel that their opinion should be adopted by me as well. So, you know, I get that as well. So luckily,
okay.
thank God for spam filter and for my manager who catches some of the stuff so I don't see it. But,
so that's something that's still prevalent, like I was saying earlier, because I know, I mean, to me, I look at it like this. Racism, like I said, it just came back up again, you know, especially since we have our African-American president. And basically what's really going on is it was hidden for a while. As long as everything was going the way some of them wanted it. I ain't going to say everybody.
Right.
But and then as soon as the shit changes to where it ain't what they want and they can't do nothing about it, they want to come up with ways. You know, even now, trying to come up with a black Republican to run against the black Democrat so they can say which is slapping us in the face. Basically saying that we'll just take any black man. We don't care what his politics background is. We just want a black man in the office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, it's just crazy. But I was just wondering because I think, like I said, I think it's a very challenging genre within a genre that you're writing because it's erotica. Mm-hmm. But then to take it a step further and go into writing about interracial type relationships, because there's a lot of interracial porn out and stuff like that. And then there's a lot of people that still don't like that. I mean, you got some people that don't want to see a black woman fucking a white man or vice versa or whatever. You know, it's just what it is, you know. So so what do you have that's coming up that you're doing?
Well, we kind of touched on it a bit earlier in the first hour, but it's the book concerning, you know, black women and how we view food, how we use food, and how we don't think about food and what it's doing to us and why we're doing what we're doing.
Okay.
It gives the whole concept of thick, what thick really means. It deals with the main character.
Well, since you said that, you're going to have to definitely explain that. We'll go ahead with the main character and then get into the thick piece. Go ahead.
All right. It deals with the main character, Camille. She is a professional African-American woman in corporate America. She's intelligent. She's attractive. She's got a lot going for her. However, she's got this issue with the yo-yo weight, you know, yo-yo weight, and how she, when she is stressed out or very upset, will do things regarding her consumption, her intake, which are detrimental. And it's not like she's oblivious to it. She's aware of it. But it's so much a part of a pattern and a habit of hers that she doesn't really give it a second glance. So it's really about her tackling that and understanding and seeing the patterns that whenever she's in a relationship that's abusive mentally or emotionally, or she's having a stressful situation at work, or she's having some sort of family issue, how she uses food to kind of repress that so she doesn't feel anything.
So how many people you know that's actually going through that gave you an example of this? Because I know you probably know some folks.
Yeah, I've done it in my past. Unfortunately, most of the, I feel personally, you know, and I'm sorry if I offend any of my friends, but I feel that the majority of my my friends have dealt with it at least at one point in time. You can see it, you know.
Should see this woman that we're talking to. She's a very beautiful woman, and for her to come out and tell us this is, you know, I think it's very brave of her to do that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, because you're very beautiful. I've seen pictures of you. I don't know if. yeah, DV gonna take it like this.
Food is delicious.
Okay, no. Food is delicious, but I mean, she's very beautiful, and you couldn't tell from some of the pictures of her that she's had problems going up and down and weight and stuff. But there's a lot of people like that I know. There's some authors I know. There's one beautiful author I know that's having this issue. I'm not going to mention her name, but she is going through that, and I understand where you're coming from. So I mean, but people don't know that you're actually going through different things, and then to be able to come out and be brave about it and write about it. You know, that's it. So you're taking a lot of things in your life, and like I said, a lot of us do that, except me. All the shit that I write about is I ain't done or I want to do or something. Anyway, now, most of the stuff that you have came across with is things that you have actually experienced. So I think that's brave of you. That's why I was saying that.
Right. Some of them are straight up made up, you know, but some of it, like this particular instance, yes, I have, unbeknownst to me originally, been consuming large quantities of empty calories, not realizing it was because A, B, and C had happened. You know,
right.
And you're just sitting doing it, not even thinking about it. And then before
you
know
it. Yeah,
some
people shop and some eat and some, yeah, they do different things, yes.
And unfortunately, food addiction is the one, quote-unquote, drug that we have to have. It's not like crack cocaine where you don't have to have it to live. You have to eat. So this is a double-edged sword for people. You can't stop eating, so what do? You can't go cold turkey, you know. So it's just one of those things that is like layered like an onion of all these predicaments you can get into regarding it, and how it's people don't choose to be 500 and 600 pounds. Most people don't anyway. There's something.
Well, you know, I would have to say that I've been through that myself with this weight thing. That's the reason why I'm telling you I'm intrigued with it, because me personally, I just lost over 100 pounds myself. And,
congratulations.
Yes, and you know, I guess, you know, the situation I was in prior, I was in a relationship with someone that was eating a lot, and I felt like I was with them, And I guess I just, unbeknownst to myself, I just was doing what they were doing, and just, and even though the relationship was kind of jacked up and messed up at the time, it was, I went through 7 years of this, and I got up to almost 300 pounds.
Okay.
So now, and that was way over my limit of size that I should have been. I'm only 6 foot tall, so I shouldn't have been that big. But anyway, now I'm down to 196 and happy and not in that relationship anymore. You know, once I got released myself from that relationship, I released myself from a lot of things that had to do with it, and I just moved on. And as I moved on and went on with my life, I dropped off the weight. I dropped off the weight of that person. I dropped off the weight of all the things that was holding me, and I am now a different person. So
yeah,
I understand where you're coming from.
But a lot, you know what a lot of it comes from? From our ability to never really deviate from what we enjoy, you know, and it takes a massive amount of, you know, willpower and self-control to realize not only do we have a problem, but to stop ourselves from doing the stuff that we already enjoy and to doing something that's better for us. You know, it's just
right.
Like, you know, it's just like a man turning down sex. Why would I turn down sex? I love sex, you know, but it comes to a point in time where you have to realize that, you know, having sex with everybody is not the best of ideas. Especially doing something like unprotected or, you know, doing it dangerously to the amount where it puts you and your life in jeopardy. So
right.
I mean,
that's just like Arthur D.K. Walker when he was on the show and he wrote the book that he has out, The Ugly Side of Sex.
Right.
Which basically he was a addicted sex person. He just couldn't help himself. He fucked everything he saw. You know, and he, of course, goes and tells us how he dealt with that and got through that. So I think that's very, very profound story that you have. Yes,
too,
go ahead.
Well, talking about the sex thing, black women as a whole, I don't want to generalize. I'm just, you know, I'll say some of us. But we go into denial mode regarding this. And what I mean by that is, we think, well, we'll describe ourselves as thick when we're 5'2 and 300 pounds. We will.
Big boned. There's no such thing as a big boned person.
Big bone, yeah.
But
that
they always say,
is.
I'm just big boned. I'm big boned, huh?
Right. Or we'll
what was
call,
that,
well,
like, girl, you got big skin.
We'll call our diabetes sugar and not take it seriously and not understand that the diabetes is there because of what we're doing.
Exactly.
That we don't. At the age of 30 and 35 because of what we're eating, not because we're getting older. You know, things
right,
like that.
Right.
There
right.
seems to be an issue with us regarding, you know, how we see things. And also some of it is possibly cultural. Some of the foods that we like, including myself, you know, I love soul food, but sometimes in order to get that soul food to taste just right, there's going to be some fat back and stuff in it, you know. And if
absolutely.
If you're eating
absolutely
stuff every single day or almost every day, it's a problem. And then, of course, we have issues with having fresh markets around in our neighborhoods where we're not
right.
going to meet every day.
Because a lot of that has been taken away. You're right.
But
over the years, we've grown up.
Like, the price of something fresh is double the price of what it costs at, like, Walmart or some, you know, store
that's
close
true.
To you.
That is true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you have a family of four, you know, and you go into the grocery store, they're going to look at that produce and be like, this is crazy. If I'm in here, I'm going to go to the processed foods that are cheaper and I can get more of. I'm going to get
right.
the white flour, the sugar, the white rice, you know, things like that, instead of going into the – you want to go around the perimeter of the grocery store, not in the middle. The middle is where all the crap is. And that's and they all also there's marketing that is.
Oh, it's on the outside, them. Too. Have you ever seen
yeah.
the meat?
Yeah, that's true.
The chicken is like they add solution to the chicken. Like, why would you add solution to chicken?
Because so it can be cheaper, so cheaper. And you're right. The things you're hitting are very important because that's why to eat healthy, it costs more because of that reason. And they know that. That's the reason why
right.
they market it that way and sell it that way. Because, like you said, the thing that you said that was really, really hit it on the head was you being a poor person can't, you got to buy what you get more of. So you're going to buy the processed stuff and all the things that aren't good for you. And like you said, the environment that you grew up in, eating the fat back and all that, you know, those are things that are chitlins or whatever. Those are things that we, you know culturally and all that. So a lot of those things, they use that against us. They play that against us on that. So,
but see, nowadays, it's not so much as that we eat poorly. It's in addition to the fact that we don't go out and exercise like we used to. Because remember, our parents used to kick us out the house. Like, boy, if you don't get out this house, you know, and so we was out running around and doing stuff and playing sports.
Well,
so it was a way to
and all these video games and stuff, so, yeah.
Right, it makes everybody sedentary to the point where everything you eat now affects, you know, how much you weigh. And, you know, it affects your blood sugar and it affects your cholesterol, you know.
Right.
It's, you know, I wish we had gotten back to the point where, you know, we could tell our kids, you know, go outside. But here in Houston, it's like, it's been 100 degrees for like 90 straight days. So, you know, how do you tell your kids, go outside and play in that 90-100 degree weather? You know, you'll pass out. And there's so many kids that are passing out from heart attacks now. You know, I just heard about a cheerleader
who
died during a football game. And that hurts my soul.
Right, yeah. She was only like 16 and she had a heart attack or something. Yeah, I saw that.
But you hear about it more and more often because, you know, it's not only our diets, but it's the lack of exercise, you know, especially in our community. Either you play sports or you don't. And that's just pretty much what it is with us. You know,
right.
It's not even middle of the road.
Neither are tackling this like the Wii, where you had like the Michael Jackson dancing and stuff, where they forced the child to be physical, you know, in order to win the game that they're playing. I'm glad that there's some effort for that because diabetes amongst black teenagers is, I forget what the stats are now, but it's unbelievably high and it's scary, you know. So something's got to be done.
Right. So when is that book going to be hitting the streets?
That is in the works. I just finished it, so I'm hoping that it is out before the end of the year. That is my goal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've got about 17 minutes left, and we want to get you to at least tell people how they can get your books, and if you're available for book signings or anything of that nature for book clubs, how they can get in contact with you.
Okay. I can be reached in a multitude of ways. You can go to my website, TianaLevine.com. I'm also on Facebook, and you can hit up my email. My manager does read the emails first, just to let everybody know, but it's TianaLevine@yahoo.com, and my books are available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, CreateSpace. They're in Kindle and Nook and iPad and iPhone versions, as well as paperback.
Hmm. Okay, so when am I getting my copies? I'll pay for them. It's no problem. I just want signed copies.
My book trailers are available also on Facebook as well as YouTube.
See how she just played me off, man? I asked her a question. She just went into her book trailer. Yeah, see that, man? I told you I would buy them. I'm not trying to make you give them to me. I just want them signed.
That's probably fine. I can do that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we definitely happy to have you on. We got about 16 minutes. We're not done yet, but we just wanted to, you know, give you that time to kind of talk about it. And like I said, the subject matter you have in all of your stories are very intriguing. So I definitely want to, you know, it gives it a better twist to me to want to even venture into interracial erotica, because there's a lot out there. A lot of people write about it. And another avenue that you were thinking about going into paranormal, and you're already into the interracial writing, one company that I know that you might want to take a chance at with that publishes a lot of that, and they love that, is Sirene Publishing. Have you ever heard of that? That's a company might want to send, huh?
No, I haven't.
That's a company. You should look them up. They do a lot of paranormal. They do a lot of, they like to write stories about, like, five men together having sex, or white men, or whatever. They have specific on different things that they want. And they do paranormal stuff as well. So that's one avenue if you want to go through them. You always can continue to do like you've been doing because that's always the best way. You know, I think that independent publishing is always the best, and it's going to take over everything else anyway because there's really no need with technology and everything. A lot of these mainstream companies are kind of dying out. So the independent publishing is really taking over. And a lot of – even some of the authors that are out there now – that's in mainstream are starting to do a lot of Kindle and stuff because it's easier. And you don't have to – and, you know, they're all doing that, and you can charge what you want, and they get all the money. It's not like when they do it through a company, you know, you got to give them so much of the royalties and stuff. I mean, even with CreateSpace, you give a little, but it's not killing you. So, you know, I've published books. I've published books through CreateSpace as well, and I think they're a great way to do it. So, you know, I mean, it just depends. A lot of stuff you just don't – they're getting away. And matter of fact, I went to a conference – where they talk about that subject, and they're kind of worried because this is one way that they're used to doing it, and they're like, well, what do we do? I don't have to have an agent anymore. What am I going to do? You know, I mean, these people are publishing that's not famous like me. That's not what some of them say, not all of them, but, you know, some of them say that they're publishing. Anybody can publish, and they're not. I mean, you know, it's just a whole bunch of crap. But anyway, it's just everything is changing. It's changing. And in order to survive in this thing, you got to be able to do what we're doing. You know, with the independent stuff, come up with your own. Because you're a publishing company. Once you publish a book yourself, you're a company.
That's
right. You can do that. So, I mean, you're just like any other mainstream company that's out there. Yeah. The thing I like about it is that you have control of what you put in your books. That's the reason why I asked that question. You have control of what goes in it. You have control of how long it is. You have control of the cover. There's a lot of things that you have that some companies are now starting to give their authors that they didn't before. Because I used to call them pimps. I used to say they were pimping you because you sell your story to them and that's it. They take it and they do what they want with it. Just like we heard Colleen say today with her book, making it into a movie, she had nothing else to say after that. And then they didn't even want to pay her until it actually started shooting. And then when they did, then that's when they'll give her some money. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, and it could have been whatever they wanted to make it out of. So
They didn't keep her title, so that made it harder
right.
for people who did enjoy the movie to be able to probably even find the book.
And you know, Sins of the Mother, it sounds good, but and I don't know. I guess the characters, well, Jill Scott's black, so I guess the characters were black still in the book. I mean, in the movie, but they could have took it and made her a white woman. You know, I mean, they could have did what they wanted to make it fit what they wanted. But I'm glad that they didn't do that because I've seen parts of that movie. I didn't see all of it, but I had seen pieces of it. So and Jill did a great job in it. So, but
I'm gonna have to check that out. Yeah, I didn't see it.
Yeah, but I want you to continue on because we definitely want to get you back on when that book comes out. And
okay.
And I want you to know when you're on Word Sexy Radio, you can say whatever the fuck you want to. You ain't got to be all, you know. That's why I don't send questions out. I don't send questions out purposely to people because I want them to be shooting from the hip and coming from their soul when they answer the questions. I don't want them already written down and already know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I do that on purpose because I want you to come out with your true thought. And if you want to say ass or he fucked her, then you can say that on here. It's not going to get bleeped. It'll be just like you said it. Huh? I'm just saying that because it's explicit radio. I mean, that's why Word Sexy Radio is the way it is. So we say we want to. We talk about dick, ass, fuck, whatever. You know, we do that. That's just what we do. So, but we definitely want you to come back, Tiana. So, because you're one of us. You're an erotic writer, and we like that. And we like to talk shit. And we like to talk about sex and all that. Right, DV?
Who's not?
And
I am pure of heart.
And,
I don't
know
anything about sex.
And every first Monday on Word Sexy Radio, we have, and you can join us if you want to, Tiana, sometimes. All you got to do is just call in or just let me know you want to do it. We have a roundtable discussion there. We talk about relationships and different things, and I think that would be a great subject matter to talk about is interracial relationships. If you can bring that would be great. And we can have that on the show, and we have Pink. Arthur, she's Arthur Pink. She's one of the on the table. And now we're going to have Mary B. Morrison. I'm hearing is going to be coming on, and she's going to be bringing her pieces, her two cents in. And we have DV, me, and we have Miss Cotton, who is a erotic poetry, soft spoken erotic poet that comes on as well. So we talk shit, and that's what we do. And we have people call in, and they tell us their situations that they've been in or whatever, and we talk about it. So you know, you're welcome to do that. Because we want to hear you laughing and shit, but I know you can bring something to the table. You're just trying to play like you don't know what's going on. But God damn it, you know. Okay?
I have been, we've been promoting my other book, The Slave Master's Son, on Facebook, and I ran into some snafus regarding editing, but anybody who's listening, I just want to let them know that that book will be available in the next month, a month and a half, and I do apologize for the delayed timeline.
Okay, well, look, when that comes out, you let me know when it's coming out so we can get you back on. If it's not for about 10 minutes to talk about that. I mean, I do that on Word Sexy Radio. We do that. We let you come on. You can, you know, call in and let you do a quick, say something about it. And we'll give you another segment as well, just like to that, if you want that as well. We can work that.
Okay, thank you.
So is there anybody out there that you want to give a shout-out to, anything like that, that you want to kind of, you know, recognize or get you where you are in your career and going forth, or your husband, or, you know, you have any children?
Yes, I do. I have one son. He's almost two, and I'm getting ready to have my second child in a matter of days, hopefully.
And I didn't want to say that. That's why I said if you want to say your situation, because I didn't want to get you so happy and shit, talking shit about fucking and all that you bust open and your child come out, you know what I'm saying? And it'd be our fault. Worst sex fate will be having a baby on, you know. So that's the reason why I didn't. That's the reason why I didn't want to say that, DV. You know what I'm saying?
You took a Motrin.
Because let me tell you. I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, because I've been married a few times. and one thing I missed about being married is having sex with a pregnant woman. You know, that's some good shit. All right, we ain't going to get into that.
I'm
going to leave that alone. That's some great shit.
That.
That's some warm, good pussy. I'm sorry. Anyway, I shouldn't be saying that to you.
You caught a flashback on that one.
I did, because when she said that, I could just see her now, pregnant and beautiful, and I just leave that alone. That's your man's deal, not mine. Okay. All right. So is there anything else you want to say, Tiana, before we get ready to close it out?
Thank my friend and what I consider a mentor, Cole Black.
Uh-huh.
Is that the Cole Black that stay in Cincinnati?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I know that name.
Yeah, I know the name, too. I don't know him personally, but I do know that name, yes.
Okay, yeah. He's got the sex therapy series and the chance he took. Yeah. He's great. Him and I, like, of course, to thank my husband, who has been extremely helpful in this career that I had started, and my mom for always encouraging me. So, actually, both of my parents, my mom and my dad. So, you know.
So what does he think about you writing about sex? Your dad, is he with it and all that and shit? Your mama, and them, are they in it? They all right?
My mom has tried several times
to
read novels, and she always and she was like, I can't my baby wrote something so nasty. And she,
that's what I'm saying. They always be trying to say, that ain't my child. My child don't know nothing about no sex. And then you don't want to think about your parents having sex, but then you came here. How in the hell you think you got here?
Same thing with my parents. Don't feel bad. Because, like, my mom reads she read both my books, and I felt dirty. Like, my mama read my book, and she know who wrote it. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
But I love her to death. That's my mama.
Yeah, and then my father has tried. He's not a big-time reader, but he's tried to get my mother to read him the books, and she tries to attempt, you know, when they have quiet time to read the books. And she has to stop, and she's like, I just can't do it. You know, she can't read the books out loud to me. So
wow.
they have been very supportive, though, and I really appreciate that. So,
That's good. That's good. And you want to have that. You know, sometimes you got haters out there, and, you know, you know, people sometimes they just be tripping. That's all right. That's good. But like I said, you know, we definitely want to. And after you have that baby and you get yourself settled and everything, you know, and you get that book out, we definitely want you to, you know, if it's not you or your publicist or whoever, you know, let us know if you want to come back on. And we'll definitely, I just reached out to you myself. And, you know, if you answer back saying, yeah, I want to come back, then we'll, you know, we can set that up. That's not a problem.
Okay,
we get you
great.
On and have you back and, you know, and tell us about that. And you might think of some shit while you're in there, you know, having the baby or whatever. You know, why are you cussing your man out? Motherfucker, you got me? No, I'm just playing. Anyway,
you
got me having
kids?
This child. you got me doing this, and I ain't doing this no more. Because you know how that goes. I don't know how you react in that, but some women, you know, they go off on the man, you know, because they're going through the pain that they're having while they're having this child. And God damn it, you ain't fucking me no more. I don't give a fuck, you know, whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
hey, maybe yeah, it's just like it's straight booty love from now on. Straight booty love.
Oh, yeah, well, she might. She might say, only in the ass from now on, only in the ass. Or whatever, I don't know. Or it could be just some oral, I don't know. But anyway, we get wild and crazy on here, as you see. But it's been great having you.
We
and
talk about your future.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. But hopefully you enjoyed the show. And like I said, and Colleen, she's great. I didn't want to get sexual with her because she was really worried about that, I think. So I didn't want to take her in that aspect. But
okay.
I was surprised that she was cussing, that she wanted to cuss. But that's the reason why the segment went that way in the beginning, you know, just to respect for the person that be on here. Because most of the time, like I had a Christian fiction person on here one time, and they was wide the fuck open. I was like, damn, okay. But anyway, you know, to me, Christian fiction is still erotica. It's just using the preacher and shit, you know, like Reverend Cucumber and Sister whatever. Sister Strawberry is fucking around with, you know, with Deacon asshole, whatever, you know, and they all fucking, you know, whatever. You know, the choir director is gay or whatever, you know, just whatever, that kind of thing. So, but we thank you, and I'm going to, you know, say that, you know, whenever you want to come back, you know, just let us know.
Oh, definitely. And again, thank you for having me, and it was nice, I guess, meeting, even though it's a virtual, both of you.
Okay, well, hopefully we'll meet in the future here sometime, you know. We'll see how that goes at some book conference or something. So, all right. Well, we thank you for coming on. And this has been We're Sexy Radio, and we are out of here. has been Word Sexy Radio for October 3rd, 2011. And we thank you for supporting as we bring you the best in erotica.